get saved. Oh, it's always been one way. Grace through faith. If you have a Bible this morning, turn with us in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. The book of Acts, chapter number 27. And as our custom is, we'll honor and stand the reading of the Word of God in Acts 27. If you enjoyed the singing, say amen this morning. I'm glad He is the master of the wind. Acts 27. Now the Bible said when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Amertium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. And a Macedonia of Thessalonica being with us, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds was contrary. Verse number 9, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. But nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Oh, the times I wished I'd listened to the man of God. Oh, the times I wished I'd listened to the word of God. When he had something given to me in my life, I wish I'd listened to the word of God." Verse 14, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euclidon." Verse 21, "After long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened to me, not have loosed from Crete to have gained this Harmalos. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God." Aren't you glad he's always on standby? He said, "Whose I am and whom I serve. Thank God I'm his and he's mine." Saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." Father, we love you today. We thank you for the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those songs that we've heard this morning, how our hearts have been stirred. I pray now, may our hearts be challenged by the Word of God. Would you help us in the preaching? Oh, God, I pray you'd forgive me of where I failed you many times. I pray you let preaching be easy this morning. There's no preaching upon me. God, unless the Holy One come down and touch me today, would you help me to be a blessing to your people? God, if it be one here lost, I pray you'd draw them, God, by your amazing grace and mercy. Oh, Lord, we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm interested this morning in a text verse from 27. The Bible said, "When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." I want to preach on this simple topic today on our journey home. On our journey home. The Bible said that they drew near to some country. Now, Abraham said that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. I wouldn't tie many roots down deep in this old world because this thing is going to pass away. But I'm glad there's hope yonder in another country. Now, I want to say, first of all, on our journey home, thank God for the ride on our journey home. I'm glad the old ship of Zion, Brother Adam, pulled up to my house one day. Let down the gangplank. Let me walk on by the good grace of God. I don't understand why he did. I just know he did. And I thank God one day that old ship sailed by and said, you can get on if you want to get on. I'm glad that it let the gangplank down and it didn't walk me off, it walked me in. Thank God He said you can come in by grace through faith. I'm glad I believed in what the Son of God done for me on Calvary's cross. And when that old ship come by the good grace of God, He put me inside. Now I'm glad for the ride on our journey home. I'm glad I'm not walking, but I'm glad I'm riding. I'm glad I'm not swimming, but today I'm riding. And so we see this ride on our journey home. You say, well, preacher, what is it? Oh, it's the old ship of Zion. Can I say it is a proven ship? It sails through doubts. How many times have you doubted what God done for you? Or could I go a little further? How many times have you doubted what God's going to do for you? How many times has the devil whispered that spirit of doubt in you? And you wondered, would God really help you out of this situation? I come to tell you today, there is a God. And I'm glad that He sees about His children. I'm glad He cares about the predicaments that we're in. And boy, when doubt comes by, I'm glad I'm riding on my way home. And you'll notice this, it not only is a proven ship that it sails through doubts, but it sails through dangers. Here in this story, the wind had gotten up. You're a cloud and it was a great storm. It was the greatest storm that had ever come up that the sailors knew. It's bad when your storm has got a name. But this storm had a name. And this morning you may be in a big storm in your life, and I'll guarantee you it has a name. You're a clouding. And I tell you what it will do. It will disrupt the things of life, and it will discourage you if you're not careful. But aren't you glad that we're in the ship of Zion, and it is a proven ship. And it sails through discouragements. It sails through doubts. And it sails through dangers. Can I remind you, it was not you that got you out of that predicament. Young man, when you had that car wreck, it was not luck that got you out of there. Ma'am, when you nearly died, it was not the luck of the physician's hands that brought you back. It was a sovereign God in heaven that was looking about you and that cared about you and that cared about me. And thank God this is an old proven ship and it's a sailing through the dangers of this life. Every time when we go through this highway, I remind and it's only 3 foot before it's a head-on collision. Just a yellow line between us. But I tell you, as a child of God, the Bible said that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear Him. Thank God I've got something better than luck. Thank God I've got something better than what I can do. I'm glad I'm in the ship of Zion. And it's a proven ship. Thank God it's a sailing on this morning. I'm glad I'm riding home. It is a proven ship. But I want to say today also it's a priceless ship. It's priceless because of its captain. In Hebrews chapter number 2, it's a great verse in the Bible. I'm glad that I read it. It's amazing what you find in the Bible if you'll just read it. Hebrews 2 verse number 10, for it became Him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I'm glad I've got a captain. It makes it a priceless ship. Money cannot buy him, friend. There's a lot of people trying to do good or pay him off. But aren't you glad that he is the captain of our salvation? I'm glad he's on board. Glory to God. I'm glad one night in Mark chapter number 4, there's a storm got up. And the Bible said that they ran to Jesus. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Probably the craziest question they'd ever asked. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Why, he raised up, friend, and he's not. He's not the normal weather man. There's a lot of boys talking about the weather. How many times have you been talked out of a good fishing trip or out of a good golfing trip? Some of you rednecks, help me preach a while this morning because we listen to weather men. But honey, there's only one weather man. There's only one God man. He don't, friend, talk about the weather. He talks to the weather. And He said, lay down weather, lay down waves, lay down wind. Thank God He's a captain on my ship, on my journey home. Hallelujah. I'm glad the captain's on board of my ship. Well, it's a priceless ship because of the captain. And then it's a priceless ship because of the chart. I'm glad I know where I'm going. Thank God I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. You say, preacher, why have you got that chart? Oh, this chart, friend, it keeps me going in the right direction. I'm glad I can pull it out on this ship and go all through there. And it tells me about everything I need in my life. Young people, you don't need to go to a marriage counselor. You need to get in the God of the Bible. Hey, if you're hooked on addictions this morning, you don't need to go down to the triple A's and the double A's. Right here's all you'll never need. Hey, King Jesus has got everything. Hey, it felt good. King Jesus has got everything we need. Hey, did I tell you, King Jesus has got everything that we need in the Word of God. Boy, I'm glad I got this chart. It's telling me in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous time. Rocky times, dangerous times. Boy, this priceless ship has a captain and it has a chart. It lets me know how I'm doing on my voyage. Thank God when I read it, I see what I am. But when I read about Him, I see what He's done for me. Thank God I've got the chart. And you know, no ship would be right unless it had a compass. Thank God. I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost lives in me. And He tells me what way I'm headed. I'm glad He tells me when I'm bad. I'm glad He lifts me when I'm sad. I'm glad the good Holy Ghost leads and guides us into all truth. And the Holy Ghost lets me know what direction I'm headed. You say, where are you headed? I'm headed to yonder shore. I'm on a journey to a city. You say, preacher, you ought to not get loud. You'll get loud at the ball game. Amen. Hey, you ought to get loud down at the house of God and enjoy the good ride. Thank God I'm in the ship. Hey, thank God I'm going yonder to the other side. And it is a priceless ship this morning. I tell you another thing it's got a clock on board. And from all indications, it's a getting late. What are you talking about? They had a clock on board. Acts chapter number 28, chapter 27, verse 28. The Bible said, and they sounded, and they found it 20 fathoms. And when they'd gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Now, what are you talking about sounding? Well, they didn't have depth finders, Brother Troy. What they had was strings with lead rope on it. They'd let it down. And they said, first of all, we're getting closer. There's 120 feet. They let it down again, and it was 90 feet. What are you talking about? Oh, Lord, this is so good. I don't know if I'm going to be able to contain myself. All indications are we're getting closer to the shore. Hey, lift up your head, weary pilgrim. Joy's going to come in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Glory to God. My clock, by all indications, is letting me know we're closer than we've ever been before. Thank God there's a better place than here. You see, we have a captain, we have a chart, we have a compass, we have a clock. But we also have a capable crew. I can tell you what they're capable of. Danger. We're all riding in the same boat. But aren't you glad there's a captain on board that'll never take us through anything that we can't get through? But I want to say about this capable crew. Thank God they some young'uns. Learning how to play an instrument when we go on to be with the Lord. Thank God they some young'uns that know how to teach Sunday school out of a King James Bible. Thank God they some younger preacher boys coming up that know how to preach the Word of God out of the King James Bible. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? This capable crew. Thank God I've got some Christians that's walked this way before. I'm glad we've got each other. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, that upon this, in Acts 27, verse 3, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. Thank God that we've got friends on board. I'm glad I got some friends in the faith here in my life. And let me tell you something, I've not always done right. But since I've got saved, something in me has always wanted to do right. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I got some friends in this ship that encourages me to go on and keep on preaching. When these little ones come up and look up and say, hey, preacher, it may not mean nothing to you, but it means everything to me. When your little mama, 85-year-old, 81-year-old, walked the aisle for Jesus, now raises her little hand up toward glory, that means something to me. Thank God we got some friends that can speak to us and encourage us going down this road of life. We need each other. Young families, you need young families. You need older families. Hey, mom and daddy, we need to stay together so our young ones can realize it does work. It does work for a man and a woman to love one another. I didn't say man and man or woman and woman. I say, young people, God created Adam and Eve, and He's united this thing of marriage to be together for a lifetime. Thank God some folks had to stay together, hey, to prove that this thing still works. You say, well, my marriage is tough, and he's not what I married. Well, what'd he get in the deal? You say, well, she ain't who I married. Well, what'd she get in the deal? Matter of fact, let me ask you this. We got him. What'd he get in the deal? I think he got the short end of the stick, neighbor. But hey, 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 we got him. Thank God. I'm glad we got him this morning. I wouldn't be throwing no stones at nobody. You'd be losing ground when you're throwing stones. But oh my, aren't you glad we got some friends on board. Friends that'll walk up and say, preacher, keep on preaching. There's a lady today, I think she's 85 here today. She told me last Sunday, she said, when I'm dead and gone, you keep on preaching the way you preach it. Now I realize there's black cars and white cars and red cars, and you get anything that suits your fancy. I know there's everything out there in the name of religion, all the way from Burger King to old time religion this morning. But this ain't a place where you get it your way. It's Christ's way. It's still the blood, thank God. It's still old time religion that's a getting things done this morning. You say, why you call it old time religion? Because it worked for Paul, and it worked for Grandpa, and it'll work for me, glory to God. I'm going to stay in old time religion. Glad we got each other. Thank God we got some friends on board. We can go refresh ourselves. Friends ought to leave you better than how you met them. If you call somebody a friend and every time you lower than they are, I'd stay out from around them. Boy, I'm glad there are some friends that refresh us in this life. You see, the ride on our journey home, it is a proven ship. It's a primitive ship. It sails by the wind. I'm glad that the good hand of God puts the wind in our sails and takes us where we're supposed to go. They didn't have an outboard motor on the back. They didn't have a trolling motor on the front. They were simply at the mercies of the good hand of God. Can I tell you, the breath of God will take you where you need to go. I'm glad the Bible said when the wind blew softly, they lifted up the mainsail toward the shore. I'm glad just a little wind will take you a long way down. Thank God I'm a-riding my way in home. They got there by the wind. You know, that storm takes us exactly where it needs us to be. When Noah got out in that great ark, he'd been in that thing for a long time. He got out exactly where that storm took him. And this morning, let me tell you, don't think it's strange because you're in a storm. God's just taking you someplace. But aren't you glad that you're in the ship this morning? It is a primitive ship. It's run by the wind. I'm glad the wind of God still does right. You know, a lot of churches wouldn't know how to operate on the wind of God. They've got a program that this is to do this and that's to do that. But I done notice, friend, when you're riding this ship, when the winds are blowing, you never know what's going to happen next. It may be an older man of God stand up in Sunday school and go to bragging on the Lord. Amen. My little old mama, she didn't understand about testimony. She'd been raised in one of them old cornbread dry churches, amen, where if somebody was to shout or stand up and praise God, the building would fall. Somebody testified last week. She said, "Now, hon, what was they doing?" Renee said, "Oh, they was a bragging on the Lord." She said, "Oh, well, I like that, amen." What are you saying, friend? I'm saying thank God that we got wind blowing. I'm glad we're going someplace. And it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's all about Him. I like what the piano player said this morning. There's no room for jealousy in singing. There's no room for jealousy in preaching. There's no room for jealousy in teaching. I remember one time we had a Sunday school teacher here. He thought he was more important than the wind blowing. He got mad at me and said, "We ought to have Sunday school every Sunday." I said, "Let me report in to you, friend. We listen to the great captain. And when the winds are blowing, we're going to pick up the mainsail and go yonder toward the heavenly shore. Thank God we can get along without me and we can get along without you." Brother Marlon, I was doing pretty good in the first church I pastored till I messed with her piano. Ask Brother Randall, Miss Karen, as I moved their piano a couple of feet, and why, you'd have thought that I killed the governor. I better not look like you not enjoying this. You'll make me preach an hour and a half. This thing ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's about the crucified one that hung his darling head, humbled himself and came walked in this world for the likes of me and you. And I don't know why he did, but I sure am glad he did. I'm glad he reached his big hand down and got me one day and put me in this ship. Now I'm riding toward his house, glory to God. You see, it's a primitive ship. It operates by the wind. And whenever this church quits operating by the wind, we're sunk. Hey, watch this, buddy. This is good right here. When you quit operating by the wind, you go in no place. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. Oh, I know what he's saying now. Boy, I'm glad he's our captain and can take us exactly where we need to go. I'm glad I got a ride on my journey home. But you'll notice there are resistance on our journey home. There are storms in it. I'd love to tell you because you're a Christian that you would have no heartaches. I'd love to tell you because she was a Christian that you were immune to trouble, but you're not. But aren't you glad you got somebody now to go with you? See the resistance on our way home. In verse 1, you'll notice there are some starts in life. But they was a detour. The Bible said they supposedly went to one place, but the wind took them to another. I tell you what, if you're saved, how to ride out. Everybody ought to have goals and desires. I understand that. Without a vision, the people perish. We all need goals. Well, let me tell you, you better write them all in pencil. Because the good God of glory sure is apt to change what you want in your life. But I tell you what He'll do. He'll let things come to pass in your life that pleases Him. And when you're in the perfect will of God, it's nothing no better than doing what He wants you to do. You see, there are some resistance. There's some starts in life that changes. Verse 3, there's some stops in life. All of a sudden, the wind quit blowing and it sort of stopped. But you notice this, when it stopped, he found a friend. I found out when you're on top of the world, friends are a dime a dozen. But I found out when you get in low places, then you'll find out who your friends are. When I was running that Pepsi-Cola plant, had nearly 200 employees, I had nearly 200 friends. When I went into full-time ministry, I've had one call me out of 200. Isn't that amazing? Them would line up in my office and say, "Man, you're the best thing since sliced bread." They'll tell you anything. They'll just jerk on your chain all day just to think that they're going to go somewhere. But I'm going to tell you who you can find out where your friends are when it stops on you. and people realize they can't get nothing out of you, they just love you for who you are. Did you know a rich man will never know who his friends are? You think about that a minute. A rich man will never know who his friends really are. But I'm going to tell you, when it stops, the Bible said he found him a friend. Thank God for the times, Brother Vince, in my life when it all stopped. Then, Brother Gerald, I found some friends. Brother Gerald, then I found some friends. When the wind sort of stopped, nothing going on, I couldn't do nothing for nobody. Then I found me some friends. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. But there's one that sticketh closer than a brother, and he is the Lord Jesus. You listen to me, young lady. Jesus loves you. Sir, you listen to this old preacher this morning. Jesus loves you. And Jesus can do anything that you need done. He's more than able. You see, there are some things in life that we find going toward home that are resistance. There are some starts and there are some stops. You'll notice this. On this trip, there's some homesickness. You know, I love going places. We got a trip planned this week. Nearly up on the Virginia line. We'll be up there preaching in a church nearly all week. I'm sort of anticipating, you know, going. But I'll be honest with you. When I say that last amen, and I know that Chevrolet is going to point toward West Georgia, I'm going to come in and get to be with some people that's been with me through the thick and thin on Sunday morning. I tell you, it's just nothing like going back home. Amen. Now pull in and see my grass. Even though it's knee deep, it's my grass. Boy, don't no bed sleep like my bed. And my pillow, glory to God, it may look like a run-over house cat, but it sure does lay good under my head. It ain't no place like home. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes we get homesick. Sometimes we get heart sick. Sometimes my heart gets so sad. And then sometimes, you'll notice over in verse 33, some of them there on board got seasick. They hadn't eaten for 14 days. You ever been so seasick you just couldn't eat? I mean, has it ever been in your life to where you just couldn't hardly eat nothing because you're so seasick? I get so tired of being up and down. Up and down. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the best thing I know to get you over seasickness is the Word of God. Boy, I'm glad it's a cure-all this morning. Me and Miss Renee, we went on a cruise, that big ship. Thank God the power didn't go out when we was on it. They had a little rack on the door, Brother Jeff. If you got seasick and the doctor was out, you could go and get you a little pill out of that and put it in there, and it would make the ship steady down. But I'm glad I'm on board and the doctor's never out. Boy, I'm glad he sees about me every time. When I just get on my knees and say, oh God, I'm homesick. Lord, I'm heartsick. Lord, I'm seasick. I need you to do something for me. And I sure am glad on my way home that I have a ride. And then you'll notice in verse 18, not only on our way home, we have a ride on our journey home. We have resistance on our journey home. But we have a riddance on our journey home in verse 18. Sometimes you need to unload some things. The Bible said, and we've been exceedingly tossed with the tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. Boy, wouldn't it sail better if we'd get rid of some of these worries off of us? You know, worries, just like an old rocking chair, it'll keep you busy, but it'll take you no place. Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning on your ride home if you could get rid of some things that's bothering you and lay them on the altar before His feet? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could get rid of some of those worries, some of that depression? You know, I used to think light about people with depression, but can I tell you that's a real deal? I had a preacher, not a preacher friend, but a deacon call me last night. He had moved in deep depression. I began to talk with him about it. He said, you know, I used to think light of everybody that had depression, but now it's come to me. What do I need to do, Brother Ken? Let me tell you, depression's a real thing. And the devil loves to depress you and tell you there's no hope. He loves to tell you nobody loves you, nobody cares. He's a lying devil. Did you hear what the sister said this morning? When he pulls up on your ear and he goes to putting all those things in your mind, Jesus said, think on these things. Boy, I'm glad. Thank the Lord that we can unload some things before we get home. Some of us may have sin in our life. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could unload that? And you know, maybe some of us, we just got in complacency. I think in the last day, in this last church age, that's the biggest thing going on in our churches in America is complacency. Boy, we're so fat and we're so happy. Everything's good. I mean, the building's mainly paid for. We got prettier buildings than we've ever had, but we got less God than we've ever had. Boy, I'm going to tell you, Paul was writing, he said, I write this to stir up your minds. We need to get stirred up about Calvary. We need to get stirred up about sinners. Let me tell you, you say, well, preacher, you ought not preach the way you do. Well, you ought not come to church here then, amen? Let me tell you this, Jesus loves sinners, and if you die without Christ, hell will be your home. We ought to get stirred up about eternity. Used to, the church would lay on the altar for hours and weep their way to God. Boy, I tell you, if there's no weeping, there's no reaping. A lot of you, you've got happy just playing around with sin. Oh, let me tell you, you need to be stirred up and remember what God's done for you. Well, preacher, so-and-so's hurt me and let me down. Let me tell you, anybody you put your eyes on but Jesus will let you down. Quit copping out with that statement, she's let me down or he's let me down. Get your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Boy, He'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you, friend. In the long haul, He can be trusted. I love Him and praise Him this morning. I want Miss Sherry to be coming. I want her to play something, whatever we need to do this morning on invitation. But there are some riddance on the way home. But in verse 40, thank God, there is some reaching on the way home. I'm glad that the Bible said that, notice this, they made it in. Yeah, some on boards and some on broken pieces. And I can't tell you how you're going to get there. I'm just going to tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to get there. Some on broken things, some on boards. And I tell you what I want to do. Those that's coming in on broken pieces, I want to get out there with them and help them on the way home. You see, there's a reaching. And then there's a revelation. Look what it said in Acts 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. There's some things you won't know till you get there. And it's no reason you're trying to figure them out. But I tell you what you can do. You can pillow your head on Romans 8, 28. For we know that all things... You know, that's a big verse. That's a verse that when you look at things and you shake your head and say, Lord, I don't understand this. And can I tell you, it's okay to ask why. I've heard somebody say that you're not supposed to ask the Lord why. Well, Jesus did. He said, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? And let me tell you, it's okay to ask why. But you always remember this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You see, when they landed, then they knew. There's only some things we're going to know when we get there. There's no sense in worrying about them now. We'll just keep our eyes on Jesus. Whatever you need this morning, would you come? We open up this altar.